Lord, thank you so much, oh God, for this wonderful day that you have given us, oh God, that we can continue to study the power of the gospel. Lord, help us to understand the power of the gospel. Lord, help us, oh God, to know, not only to know God, but to speak the gospel to every aspect of our life. Lord, help us, not only to speak the gospel to our lives, to one another, but help us to speak the gospel to others, to the world, oh God, to those who are in need of the good news. Lord, today we have been hearing a lot of bad news, and the world needs the good news. And Lord, we thank you that you will empower each and every one of us with the message of the good news. That everywhere we go, we have a message. We have a good news to tell them. But there's only one way, oh God, we can experience that good news. And that is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you and we praise you, oh God, for this wonderful day. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, well, let's go back to our text today, which is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 12. But let me emphasize verse 9, which tells who we are in Christ. It says here, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Well, the question that I'm going to ask you today is this: how do we display the gospel? Well, the Bible says we are lepers, read by all men. Whether you like it or not, the men around you, your neighbors, your friends, your relatives, see you the way they want to see God, or they want to see the God that you worship. And I believe we display the gospel of Jesus Christ by knowing who we really are in Christ, so that we can declare and display who he really is. The only way we can display to the world that he is what he says he is, we can only display to the world who Jesus is, if we know, and we know, and we know, and we know, who we really are in Christ. So the first thing that I would like to tell you today is this. Do you want to display the gospel? How many of you would like to display the gospel? How many of you would like to tell the world about Jesus Christ without saying a word? Though we need to tell them the word, we need to tell them the gospel, but there are times we don't even have to say a word and we are displaying the gospel. Our responsibility is not only to display the gospel, but also to declare the gospel. But there are times we need to display the gospel so that they will know not only who God is, but who we are in Christ. But we cannot display the gospel without us knowing who we are in Christ. So we display the gospel by knowing who we are. And how important is knowing the gospel? How important is knowing our true identity in Christ in displaying the gospel? Let me tell you a story of a Christian named Sarah. You know, Sarah one day went to a department store with her small kid. And then suddenly her kid started acting up. Her little boy began to struggle with outbursts. This was nothing new to her, but it made her freshly aware of the struggle that she is going through. When she saw the eyes of those around her casting silent and loud judgment, it is as if those people around her were saying, "Get control of that child." Or as if they are saying, "Clearly there's no discipline in that home." Or maybe they're saying in their thoughts, "If that were my child, they would never behave that way in school." And as she felt her motherhood being clearly judged, she turned to one woman and she said, "Don't judge me. You have no idea of the challenge that I'm going through." You know, her very identity as a mother was being challenged. And she was not okay with that. You know, while that woman that she was referring to would have been more gracious, the real problem was that Sarah was letting that woman determine her identity and her worth. You know, that many times happens to us. You know, every time you get angry when someone tells you about something, that tells you about where your identity is. That tells you who or what your idol is. And in that particular time, her idol was her desire to be a good mom, a good mother. She was seeking after her identity and how good a mom she was rather than the identity she has in Christ. And the greater sadness of that story is, instead of being a witness to this woman, she lashed out at her in the midst of her identity. How did knowing or not knowing her identity in Christ affect her conduct? I believe it was huge. Because her conduct, or your conduct and my conduct, flows out of who we perceive ourselves to be. You know, identity always precedes and always affects our behavior. Knowing who you are or not knowing who you are affects your behavior or your conduct towards others. You know what the Bible says about us is we are called to be ambassadors, to represent Him. But there are times we are not acting as ambassadors, as representatives of Christ. Instead, we are showing to the world around us that our identity is in something else or in someone else, not in Christ. So how do we live out our Christian life in an unbelieving world? Or how can we live in a world that is full of hatred, that is full of anger, that is full of violence towards one another? How can we be different in the world that we are living in? You know, we can try to live out our hope in the world with unbelievers, but if we don't know who we are in Christ, you know what will happen? We will be self-motivated. And if we fail, we will be paralyzed by our failures. Or if we give in to the world, we will be consumed with the world's pressure. And then if we, you know, give up, we will become withdrawn and ineffective
telling others about the kingdom of God, about the kingdom of heaven.
But sometimes, as ambassadors, we don't really understand our role as an ambassador. To become an ambassador for Christ, who do we represent? We represent the kingdom of God. We represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. So in order to represent the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the God who is almighty, we have to know who He is and who we are. And in this particular passage that we read, Peter gave us four identity markers. Four things that the Bible says about us, who we are in Christ, that will help us display the gospel in the world. So what are those four identity markers? Four things about you and four things about me that we need to believe about ourselves. That we need to believe about God, what God is saying about us, so that we can be a display, or we can display God in the world. Let's go back to verse 9. It says, "But you are a chosen generation." In other translation, it says, "But you are a chosen race." Actually, the meaning of generation is the word race. R-A-C-E. We are a chosen race. But before we go to that verse, there is a word that says, "But you are a chosen." So there is a contrast. There's a contrast between unbelievers and believers. You are no longer unbelievers, you are believers now, so you are chosen. How many of you are glad that you are chosen? Amen? You are a chosen generation, you are a chosen race. Which means God has selected you among many. He foreknew you, which means He foreloved you. He knew you, He loved you even before He knew you. Amen? Yeah. You know, sometimes we don't understand, why did God choose me? Among all the people that God should choose, I am God's chosen. So why did God choose you? You know, whenever you think about how God or how why God chose you, you know, I stand in awe of that. And I tremble with joy. But I bow and accept it because I am chosen. You are chosen. You know, here Peter focuses on the fact that what defines our identity is not your ethnicity. Let me say that again. What defines your identity is not because you're American, you're Filipino, or you're Mexican, or you're this, or you're that. What defines your identity is not your ethnicity, but your redemption. Amen? The blood of Jesus Christ flows in our blood right now because we are part of the chosen race. We are part of the chosen generation. You are what you are right now, not because of your ethnicity. Of course, it is important that you are born in this ethnicity because God has decided to make you that way. But as far as your race is concerned, God has made you who you are. God has made you who you are because of what Jesus. Remember, we're no longer defined by how we look on the outside. We're no longer defined by your race, by how you look outside. You know, when He saved you, when He saved me, He adopted us into the family of God. And He gave us His DNA when He gave us the Holy Spirit. So we're not driven by what we are on the outside. I'm not saying that grace is not important. I think grace is a beautiful thing, but ultimately God is not after whether you are this particular race or not. Because race cannot define us. The only one that defines us is who we are in Christ. Because we are a chosen race. God has chosen us out of the many people from the world. Whether you are white or black or brown or red or yellow, God has chosen you to be part of that chosen generation, to be part of the chosen race through the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only that we are a chosen race, it says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. So we are a chosen race of royalty. You know, before, during the time of Israel, the kings and priests are separated. They are separate positions in the Old Testament. But in the New Testament, the offices of royalty and priesthood were brought together by God through Jesus Christ for His people. Do you know the purpose of God during the time of Israel for the nation of Israel? To be a nation of priests. Even before He instituted the priesthood of the Levites, God said, I will make the whole nation of Israel a nation of priests. But we know what happened. They sinned against God by worshiping the golden calf. And so God has chosen the Levites to become His priests. But now in the New Testament, we know God, through Jesus Christ, has brought together the kings and priests. So we are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a special people that God has called out of darkness. And the Bible says we sit with Him in the heavenly places. How many of you believe that you are sitting right now with Jesus Christ in the heavenly places? What happens if you are sitting together with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Do you have to worry about anything? That every time you need anything, you can tell Him what you need, or what you're going through, what you're struggling with, because He is walking and talking and sitting right beside you. You know, royal priests do not carry all the life troubles on their own. They have access to the King. You have access to the King of Kings. We can lay our burdens on His shoulders because royal priests lead to please the King. We are a chosen generation. We are a chosen race of royal priests. We are a chosen generation of royal priests distinguished by holiness. What does it mean to be holy? To be holy means to be separated from God. Holiness does not mean perfection. It means that God has separated you from among
holy means God has sanctified you. God has separated you to be holy, to be only for God's use. That's what holiness means. So you are a chosen ambassador for Christ who functions as a priest to the King of Kings. And what makes you really different is that you are holy. You are separated unto God. And that makes you different from the world. You know, what does an ambassador do whenever he goes to another country? Does he blend in with those that are in that nation? He set himself apart. He is distinguished. They know that he comes from another country because he distinguishes himself. He does not blend in with the locals. Of course, he communicates with them. He relates with them. But he is different from them. He is distinguished from them. In the same way as Christians, as followers of Christ, he expects us to be different. An example of that is a boat. A holy person is like a boat on the water. The boat's purpose is fulfilled when it is in the water. But the function of the boat and the usefulness of the boat deteriorates when water gets in the boat. And as Christians, we must keep our vessels out of the water. And do not let the water of the world get into our vessels so that we will not sink. That's what holiness is. We separate ourselves from the world. We are different from the world. We are no longer part of the world. We are not of the world because we are now part of God's chosen generation. We are now royal priests into the kingdom of God. And we are distinguished by our separation from the world. Not only that, we are chosen race of royal priests, distinguished by holiness. In the fourth part of chapter verse 9, it says, we are coveted and pitied by God. Let me read that once again. His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Verse 10. Who once were not a people, but now a people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Peter says, once you're not part of the people of God, but now you are chosen. You are now part of the people of God. You are now God's people. And then it says, once you were not a people, but now the people of God. The Greek term here is the word possession, which means you are purchased with a price. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You belong to God. You are part of the purchase price of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ. Not only does God chose you, he wanted you. You know, many people in the world today want to be wanted. Amen? All of us wanted to be desired and to be accepted and to be wanted by the world. But God chose you and wanted you chose you so that you can be part of the chosen generation. Think about that. You know, the world today is crying out, please want me, want me, want me. And the world says, I will have you if you are pretty enough. I will have you if you have the right job.
I will help you if you have the right personality or if you have the right connection. But Jesus says, I want you, even though you have wrinkles and clothes and holes and all kinds of things. And how did we know that God wanted you? He paid the price. Amen. He paid the ultimate price. He died for you. He died for me. He chose you because he wanted you. Amen. How many of you wanted to be wanted by God? Amen. That's you. So what I'm saying is, our identity is fundamentally in this. I have been shown mercy. And I get my identity not because of what I have done, not because of my actions, but because I have been acted upon by God. The word mercy is actually the word pity. God had mercy on me. He gave me what I don't deserve. Amen. We deserve that. We deserve to be separated from God. But he accepted us. He chose us. Because he loved us. God has shown mercy. And as ambassadors for Christ, God wanted us to show mercy to those who need his mercy. So as a chosen race of royal priests, distinguished by holiness, we are coveted and pitied by God. Now the question is, why did God give you his new identity? Why do you have what you have right now? How many of you are thankful for what you have right now? How many of you are thankful that you are saved, that you are forgiven, that you are chosen, that you are wanted by God? Well, all of us should raise our hands. You know the reason why God wanted us to have that new identity? The purpose of knowing, is my second point, the purpose of knowing who we are is to display the identity of God. You are what you are. You have what you have. You can do what you can do because God wanted you to display the identity of God in the world. Amen? We are God's display in the world. You know, the world will believe if they see Jesus in our life. The purpose of our new identity is to make the identity of God known to the world. You know, Peter said in verse 9, to proclaim the excellencies of God who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, your identity is not an end in itself. God has given us an identity so that we may proclaim God to us. The word proclaim means to advertise. You are God's advertisement. We are God's advertisement. It means we are telling the world, we're telling those who might not have known him to know him. And what are we going to tell the world? The excellencies of God. Proclaim the praises of God to the world. It means we proclaim how powerful, how merciful, how forgiving, how loving God is. So what is your identity in Christ? Our identity in Christ is to tell the world who he is because of what he has done in our lives. Tell the world what this king has done for them. Tell the world what tell the king, tell the world what the king has done in your life. How he turned you from darkness to light. How he changed you from who you were to who you are right now. My friends, my brothers and sisters, God is working in our lives. I've been sensing this in my heart, that He is ready to move among us. Actually, He is preparing each and every one of us to be ambassadors for Christ. But before He sends us out, He wants us to look at the mirror and come to the cross, that all self-condemnation, all worries, all fears die at the cross. That all the feelings of inadequacy die, because God has given us a new identity in Christ. But the problem is, sometimes we really don't believe who we are in Christ. Sometimes we think, am I really what God tells me I am? Sometimes we doubt what God says about us. And that's a problem most of the time with people who are trapped by the past, trapped by their experiences and circumstances, trapped by their problems, and trapped by their culture. Or sometimes we're trapped by our pressure to perform. And so sometimes we disbelieve the message that we are who the Bible says we are. But that can change. It's really up to you. It's really up to me. Do you want God to do something with you this week? Do you want God to revive you, to make you what you really are this year? Or do you want God to use you the way He wanted you? But first, we must make our identity known to you, known to us. Will you dare trust Him to believe who you are or who the Bible says you are? That's the challenge that we have today. Do you believe who you are? Because if you believe who you are in Christ, you will go out and display the gospel wherever you go. Because the Bible says you are loved. You are forgiven. You are accepted. But the Bible says, do you believe that you are what the Bible says? You are. Let us pray. Lord, thank you so much for God. That you are God who is loving, forgiving. You are God who is merciful. You are God who love us in spite of our failures, in spite of our unbelief. Lord, help us with our unbelief. Help us to believe what you say about us. Lord, thank you that we are the chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, your own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Lord, thank you that right now we are your people. We have obtained mercy. And so as we go out to the world, as sojourners and pilgrims,
Lord, we would abstain from blessing desires that warns our souls. Having our conduct honorable among the Gentiles, among the world.